I mean, who can imagine a world without Stevie Wonder? And we don't have to. But when little Steveland Hardaway Judkins was born premature 60 years ago, a parent and a doctor had to wonder if this little struggling life would be viable. The parents of Mark Twain, Albert Einstein, and Isaac Newton also probably wondered the same thing. And they had none of the technological advantages parents of preemies today have going for them. But for 1 in 8 births, you don't have the hit songs or great books or Nobel Prizes to assure you and console you that everything will turn out all right. It just sounds like these. With medical science able to keep infants alive at younger ages and smaller birth weights than ever, the question about how things will turn out are as emotionally drawn and mysterious as ever. And parents, if anything, are as much on their own about these medical decisions as they ever have been. Dr. Sarah Sheldon joins us now. She's a pediatrician, mother of two boys. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
And congratulations. Your first son was born 10 weeks early at 30 weeks, right?
Yes.
And your second son at 33 weeks, so you certainly know this experience up and down, right?
Yeah.
And they're 5 and 3 years old and doing well right now, right?
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations. And Madge Buss Frank joins us. She's a nurse practitioner who works with very preterm babies. She's also written about the limits of treating babies born ahead of schedule. Madge, good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Sheldon, let's just begin with you. Take us to that moment when you're faced with this premature infant who's living, struggling, fighting for life, and you have to ask yourself, is this going to turn out all right? Does the medical expertise in your corner these days help with that decision or increase the agony?
I was a medical student when my kids were born, and I think I had just enough information to be dangerous.
Wow.
My first son, I actually had a long drive from Vermont to Boston to think about what I was afraid of and what we were worried was going to happen. And my husband and I talked the whole 3 hours about wondering how this was going to turn out. I knew he would survive, and I think that was the key piece, but it's terrifying.
Well, and survive, but, I mean, those two words right there is the whole issue. Madge Buss Frank, as a nurse practitioner who has seen both the good and the bad here, what are the tough decisions that parents are faced with if they're looking at a 27-week, 26-week, 28-week struggling fetus there in a preemie NICU?
Well, John, the decisions are really challenging. And I have to say that the data at 27 and 28 weeks is really quite reassuring. Survival at that age is 95% with really fairly good outcomes. However, we're faced with what we call the incredible shrinking premature baby, smaller and smaller babies. And in fact, the current literature and our current practice focuses on babies much smaller than that. We're now talking about 23 weeks.
Wow.
Or perhaps 22 weeks as the edge of viability.
Now,
and to put that in perspective,
sure, go ahead,
for your listeners, remember that a pregnancy would be 40 weeks.
Right, exactly.
So these are infants born well ahead of their time.
So Madge Buss Frank, nurse practitioner, is with us. Also Dr. Sarah Sheldon, pediatrician, mother of two boys who were born premature. Dr. Sheldon, this might be a tough question, but let me just nail you with it here. If I think about my grandparents, all right, or my great-grandparents, the aesthetic back then was as tragic as it was to lose a premature infant or to have a miscarriage even, you just sort of went on and, you know, the idea was, all right, you're going to get pregnant again. All right, you're going to get pregnant again. How has that changed?
I think people absolutely expect first of all, to get pregnant in the first place, and second of all, that each pregnancy will produce viable infants regardless of what age they're born. I agree with Madge that we're seeing 23-weekers, and just in the experiences I had in the delivery room, people err on the side of resuscitating very aggressively because there's this very lawsuit-friendly culture. And also a very consumer-oriented feeling about healthcare these days, that your patient isn't necessarily your patient. They're more of a customer. and you have customer satisfaction to consider.
Now, doctor, let me recall what you just said. You said parents err on the side of resuscitating. Did you mean to say that? Are we talking about erring on the side of life here?
I think when you are faced with a 23-weeker, you are, err is a tricky word to use, isn't it? But
it is.
I think that's a baby that is unlikely to have a good outcome. Doctors are erring, I'm saying, on the side of resuscitating without discussing it. Everything's happening so fast in a delivery room that faced with the choice, they resuscitate extremely aggressively and are trying to put breathing tubes down that don't even fit in these tiny, tiny babies. But you have a 2-week margin of error with any pregnancy, meaning that is this a 23-weeker or is it a 25-weeker? Or on the other side, is this a 21-weeker?
Wow. Well, Madge Busfrank, let's talk about the conversations that you have to have with parents about what happens if you resuscitate aggressively and what you can expect. Because, you know, everybody doesn't end up like Stevie Wonder or Albert Einstein or Isaac Newton or any of the other stories. And there are plenty of parents out there who are wondering, what the heck do you mean here? Not good outcome.
These are very difficult conversations because most average people don't have a mental image of what a premature baby looks like, particularly those babies at the edge of viability. They think that perhaps the baby's just small and just needs to grow. And so our role as nursing and medical experts, is to try to help them understand the really multi-system immaturity of these babies. These are essentially babies that are part fetus and part infant, and whose every organ system, from their brain to their eye to their lungs to their gut, is under construction. And so we really have to be completely transparent with families about what the potential for survival is.
Right.
And then what the potential for intact survival, that perfect Gerber baby that they have in their mindset, what is the potential for that? If we knew the outcome, if we knew the ending of the story, and by the way, about a third of even the tiniest infants survive and survive intact with what we would consider a stellar outcome.
Hmm.
And if we knew that, for any particular infant on any given day, then the dialogue would be fairly easy.
Mm. Well, it's
but
not.
We can't see the future, and there's tremendous biologic variability from infant to infant, even within a set of twins.
Right.
And there's tremendous differences in outcomes for these infants.
Well, it's a very tough question, made tougher but also more miraculous by the advent of medical technology. Madge Busfrank is a neonatal nurse practitioner who works with preemies and has written about the limits of early viability. Dr. Sarah Sheldon, the proud mother of 2 premature boys, 5 and 3, she's also a pediatrician. Thanks so much to both of you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.